You're listening to the Warwickshire Business Podcast with yours truly, Miles Grant. Okay, so welcome to the Warwickshire Business Podcast. We're joined today by the wonderful Natalie Snodgrass-Tan. How are you, Natalie?
I'm very well, Miles. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. So, Natalie, for the benefit of those that don't know who you are and what you do, tell us more. Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, so I'm Natalie, and I run a coaching company called Quiet Space. And we focus on development coaching, and that's very much about helping people to become, I suppose you could say, happier, more fulfilled, and, you know, sort of performing better in their work and lives more generally. And we take quite a holistic approach. And by that, I mean, so for example, someone may come, you know, with a specific desire to change their career direction, for instance, you know, they're unhappy where they are, they want to be somewhere else, and they don't know how to get there. But then often once you start, I think, asking questions and peeling back the layers, you find broader things emerging, you know, things like self-acceptance and issues of confidence and identity, which is really important to take account of.
Yeah, great. Love that. I love the name Quiet Space. That's a wonderful, wonderful name.
Oh, thank you.
Where did it start? Like, where did this start? And I guess start, you know, what I mean by that is not just the business origin, but yeah. Like, what led you to this line of work?
Well, I suppose, I think for that, I probably need to go back to sort of maybe 8-10 years ago. Possibly. So I spent a lot of my working career in higher education, actually. And I think, you know, kind of reflecting on things, maybe about 8 years ago, I was thinking about what mattered most to me in the job. And really, it was about people development. And I realized that I found, you know, the thing that mattered most was actually building people up. And when I went on my second maternity leave, I had a maternity leave project, which was doing a coaching course, which is kind of building on the coaching skills that I developed as a line manager. And I've been coaching for some time, I think, within, you know, sort of the organization as an internal coach and mentor. And then it wasn't until, I think, about 2016, perhaps, that I had a bit of a mental health crisis, in fact. And I did a lot of reevaluating, you know, kind of my life in the aftermath of that. And what happened as a result was that I decided to take a career break and really focus on something that I wanted to do for me, for, you know, taking my career in a direction that that really mattered. And then Quiet Space was born in that year.
Amazing. Amazing that something that was, I'm sure, very challenging created something that's now making a real difference. So it's amazing how that can happen, right?
I think a lot of, you know, sort of, I like to think of it as a phoenix. Well, this is so a bit of a family genealogy for you, Miles. So Snodgrass, right, the surname, it's a Scottish surname, and the family crest is actually a phoenix rising from the flames. And and it's a really nice visualization for me, you know, in terms of, I think we find as people and the human condition is that we all find a lot of strength in the things that may have broken us at one point. But if you can find meaning in the things that have broken you, you come back stronger.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Tell me about the business, Quiet Space Coaching. What was the ideal sort of, what type of person do you generally work with? Maybe share a success story, somebody who came to you and they were struggling and now they've turned things around. What kind of people would that be?
Okay, so just kind of thinking about some of the clients. I think, so I work a lot of people going through career transitions. So as I mentioned just now, I think, you know, people who are really unhappy in the jobs that they've got, but and many of them can't see a way out. And then they're thinking, you know, it's like, what do I do? But I've got no idea, you know, what I'm good at, what I could potentially move into. And it's very much, so for these group of people, it's very much understanding, you know, what For instance, starting with an exploration of their values and you know what's their purpose and what kinds of things are they not only good at but enjoy doing. We call that, you know, sort of their motivated skills. And in that exploration process, being able to figure out what matters, where they want to focus their energies, and then taking them through that point to a targeted, you know, kind of career development process that takes them closer to where they want to be, you know, wherever that may be, whatever sector, whatever industry, you know, people moving into self-employment. That's another group of people in terms of people who are starting out their businesses. So I'm working currently with a few people who've decided to go freelance, you know, setting up as consultants, for example. And a lot of people, I think, doing that focus a lot on the business and forget that there's a lot of it that's very much about personal development as well. And it's really important to focus on the person in the business. And that's what I do kind of alongside people who do more pure business coaching, which is all about, you know, sort of your marketing and your business proposition. And what I do is really focus on the person.
That's wonderful. It's funny because I often talk to people about inner work versus outer work. And yeah, people, when they think about business growth, they often think about, you know, sales and marketing, when inner work could be, you know, having time to strategically plan what the result is that they want. And that can be even more important than the actual implementation of the strategy. What do you see as some obvious mistakes that you think business owners, people within businesses make when it comes to doing the outer work in their work versus looking after themselves internally? What are some obvious mistakes that you see people making? And then what are some, maybe some things that you suggest that they can do to help them if they're a bit stuck?
Do you know, I think the first thing that popped to mind when you said that, Miles, was self-care. And I think a lot of people, particularly, you know, if they're going in and setting up their own business, you know how they say, there's a saying that, you know, love what you do and you'll never work another day in your life. Well, actually, you work all the time. I think a lot of entrepreneurs and people who go freelance find, because, you know, when there's no longer a restriction in some respects on you know, control of your time, you end up doing it sort of from morning to night. So it's really important, I think, to take a step back. And that's another sort of key bit in what I do. I'm a mental health advocate as well, Miles, you know, kind of drawing on what I told you just now about my own story. But I think for people, it's really important to know how important it is to take a step back and give yourself breathing space. And I think on a related note, in terms of mistakes, I think part of it is not listening. And by that, I mean not listening to a range of things. So, you know, for the self-care, it's not listening to your own body about and your own mind about, you know, when it's time to stop, but also thinking about what you're doing, what you're putting out there. You know, are you trying to say, this is my product and this is what I'm selling, as opposed to understanding from the people to whom you want to sell, what is it you want and what kind of problems are you facing that I can help you solve?
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I know that you're very committed and passionate about learning. What's a great book that you've read that doesn't have to be business related? In fact, probably for the benefit of this conversation, maybe it isn't. Something that you feel people that are out there that are working really hard but could do with, and they recognize that from listening to this, that they could do with some self-care, they could do with looking after themselves a bit more. What's a book that you've read that you really would highly recommend?
Oh gosh, so many, Miles. Where do I start?
Go with two or three.
I'm just thinking about my bookshelf at home now. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, possibly your readers may be familiar with some of these. I think they're sort of modern classics in many ways. So if I were to pick three, I think the first I'd start with is Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And that's by Susan Jeffers. So that's sort of a modern classic. I can't remember. It must have been 20 years in print by now. Mm-hmm. But it's very much about not hiding, you know, from your demons and actually facing them down. And whatever it is, you'll be able to handle it. A second book that I really like is called The Power of Now. And that's by Eckhart Tolle. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Yeah. And that's very much about mindfulness, I think, if I can summarize it in that way. You know, I think so many of us are looking to the next thing, or we are kind of sort of reminiscing, or, you know, thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And, you know, we kind of keep reliving and pre-living, and many of us aren't in the moment. And in this moment is the only time that we can actually do anything productive. And so I really like that concept of now, you know, kind of taking this moment and doing the best that you can with it. And possibly a third one that comes to mind is this book called Not Knowing. And that's by, I think, Stephen D'Souza and Diana Renner, if I recall correctly. And I like this because so a really common topic that comes up in coaching is the idea of uncertainty and kind of coping with things that you want to control but are actually out of your control. And it's about being able to come to terms with the things that you can't control and understanding that uncertainty and not knowing can be really powerful. And, you know, understanding that what you can control, you do what you can with that. But then the rest of it, you need to be able to accept and let go of.
Great recommendations. I also know that you value great mentors. Who's been a great mentor to you? And maybe it may be a two-pronged question if it's a different answer, but what's maybe a great piece of business advice that that mentor or another mentor has maybe given you?
You know, I think that I try to learn something from everybody that I come into contact with. I mean, I think I strongly believe that everybody's got something to teach us. And so in that sense, I think, you know, in all my encounters, they're all opportunities for learning. So I don't think I have one specific person who I think of, but I can think of many people from whom I've picked up, you know, kind of gems, you know, whether through observing them or whether, you know, asking for specific pieces of advice. And in terms of best pieces of advice, I think one thing that I would say is it's so important to build connections. You know, none of us do things in isolation. And it's so important to understand the kind of supports around us in our networks, you know, the kind of conversations that we have with people. And people do this, you know, at networking sessions, and some people come in and they try to sell, for instance. You've probably, you know, been in those kinds of situations, Miles. And I think, you know, it isn't about that. It's about building relationships. And I think that's ultimately at the core of everything that we do, you know, your business, my business, and lots of other business people. It is about building those connections. So, you know, take that first and lots of things follow from it. And I think the other piece of advice would probably be, don't wait for the perfect time. You know, I think things are never going to be just right. I think an opportunity, you take what comes and then make that right. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So those are my pieces of of advice, Miles.
That's great. Thank you. What's been a really big business lesson for you? Something that maybe kind of had you with your head in your hands a bit, but on reflection turned out to be a real blessing.
Oh, that's a good one. Do you know, Miles, I haven't been in business that long, so my biggest business lesson is probably yet to come.
We'll
catch up in a few years and I'll tell you about horrible mistake I made, you know, in 2020. I don't know, I'm thinking about that. Actually, but you know, what's just come to mind is not being afraid. And I think that kind of links back to what I said before about feeling the fear. I think lots of people are afraid to dream big. Mm. And then you end up being your biggest barrier to progress. And I think actually that's quite true of a lot of things. We have self-imposed, you know, kind of barriers, mental barriers, self-limiting beliefs. That we all, you know, whether we've grown up with, you know, it's kind of been programmed into us from when we were young, you know, maybe it was our parents, maybe it was our teachers, but things that make us believe that, you know, we're either not worthy of achieving something or we can't possibly do something because, you know, look at X person over there and how could I possibly, you know, try to achieve what they've managed to. And comparison, you know, that's one of the most difficult things to progress. So I think probably that will be, and I think I keep reminding myself of that as well in terms of building this business, because, you know, this has been going, Quiet Space has been going since only about September 2017. So we're not, you know, not long, And I'm in the process of building the business now. And I think I have to remind myself about dreaming big.
Brilliant. Let's talk key performance habits. I'm really keen to know what is behind a person's business, because I always say that, you know, it's great to work on your business, but at the end of the day, if you don't look after yourself, and I know that you're an advocate for this, then you know, things will effectively not work. So for me, key performance habit, things people have spoke about on previous episodes, you know, walking the dog, meditation, yoga, going to the gym, playing tennis, playing golf. What's a key performance habit that you pride yourself in that's not related to business activity, but, you know, is related to your effectiveness in your coaching?
I've got a little anecdote here. I've got two kids, Miles, and they recently wrote a list of 50 things that mama loves, and about 10 of those were sleep. And so I sleep a lot. I think, you know, in terms of everybody's got things I think that their body needs. So sleep is one of my high priorities, you know, in terms of making sure that I'm ready to face the day and trying to get a good sort of nightly routine. So that's a challenge, I think, you know, in terms of being able to shut out sort of the stresses of the day and trying not to look at your phone before bed. And I'm just as guilty of that as anybody else. And I think the other thing, which I think you do as well, Miles, if I'm not wrong, is meditation. So, with one of my other hats on, I'm also a guided meditation leader. And I think, you know, that kind of being able to sort of focus your mind on something that's not the chaos going around most of us in the day is incredibly grounding. And being able, so, you know, anytime that you're nervous or you're anxious about something, and you can't stop your mind creating anxiety, you know, taking that step back and doing a little meditation. And I think activity as well, physical activity. So like to be quite an active person. I was running quite a lot and playing rugby before I had a knee injury year before last, which has kind of put paid to that, but yoga sort of replaced that. So I know it's a bit cliched at the moment. Everybody seems to be doing yoga, Miles, but I really enjoy it because it's such a, you know, something that combines flexibility and strength, but also it's very much about not competing. There's a piece in it, which is great for the mind.
Yeah, great. I agree. Quiet Space Coaching, what's the business vision for the future?
Do you know what I'm trying to do? I would love to set up, Miles. So this is my dream big, right? I would love to set up a transformative retreat. So it'd be in the English countryside somewhere, possibly. It'd have, you know, kind of coaching at its center, but there'd be good food and drink, you know, really comfortable spaces. We'd have yoga, we'd have meditation, we'd have a creative space, you know, whether that was drawing or you know, trying to, pottery, that's a good one. You know, anything that kind of gets your head out of the chaos and the busyness and into something that's actually focused on creating. And surrounded by beautiful countryside where you could just take walks and reconnect with nature. That's the dream. That's the vision, I think, being able to sort of deliver coaching in that kind of environment.
Great. Love it. Make that happen. I imagine there's a lot of people listening that are saying, when's it happening?
No pressure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Create it. Brilliant. Thank you, Natalie. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today. How can listeners connect with you beyond the show? So those of them that listen, that inevitably there'll be lots of people that want to reach out for coaching or just have a conversation. What's the best way for them to connect with you?
Well, they could go to a number of different places. So they could go to the website, which is www.quietspacecoaching.co.uk. That's all one word. They could come reach me on Instagram. I've got the handle Quiet Space Coaching. Or find me on Facebook, which is Quiet Space Limited. Or just email me, you know, old school, natalie@quietspacecoaching.co.uk.
Brilliant. And just so you know, those of you that are listening, all those links are in the show notes underneath. So you can click on those links there. Natalie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for
it's been a real pleasure to be on. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, Miles.
You're very welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, feel free to hit share. There should be a button somewhere where you can share the show with your friends, colleagues, family members, cats. Maybe that's just me. But feel free to share the show and we'll see you on the next one. Be sure to hit subscribe as well so that you get notified of future episodes. Have a great day.